This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Paranormal Pets. I am your host, Brandi Stark, and today we have animal medium Annie Burke from Australia on our podcast, and she is here to talk a little bit about her experiences and her new book. So we're super excited to have somebody from way across the pond talking with us about some paranormal pets. We will start right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And welcome back. Brisbane-based international best-selling author and international animal communicator and animal medium, Annie Burke, has conversations with animals living and in spirit. She conveys messages between them and their humans, providing peace of mind. Animals are her passion, and her mission is to raise global awareness of the importance of animals. She wants people to understand that animals have souls, that they feel emotions, that they understand everything that we say, and that there is no coincidence that they are in our lives. She loves making a difference for animals and deepening relationships between animals and humans. And in addition to having conversation, Annie offers her animal communication mentorship program, where she works individually with people to master the skills of telepathically communicating with their own animals. Annie provides distance healing support for animals and humans. Her podcast show, What Animals Tell Me, highlights some of her incredible conversations with animals. She presents free online masterclasses for animal parents every month. That's actually really cool that I have a fellow podcaster on the podcast. So welcome, Annie. How are you doing today?
Great, thanks, and thank you.
And I know, bless your heart, it's what, 6 a.m. over there? So we are, oh my goodness. Yes, that's Australia is always in the future. So we're sitting over here in a hot and balmy Florida afternoon in the middle of winter. You wouldn't think that would happen. But anyway, I want to welcome you. And let's just start off with a little bit about how you got started in animal communication.
Sure. I had a little ginger girl cat, and apparently 97% of ginger cats are boys. So it was very unusual to have a ginger girl. And she was the brunt of the litter and a very special little girl. Sadly, she passed away very quickly from an illness. And I just felt as though I'd missed the opportunity to get to connect with her. I'd always felt that my animals could understand me. And I actually used to tell them, I wish I could speak cat, but I just didn't learn how to do it in time for her. But she inspired me to start looking for an animal communication course, and I found one online, and the image of the cat on the front of the website looked exactly like her. And I thought, that's no coincidence. This is a sign. This is what I'm meant to do. And I've actually spoken to her in spirit since and spoken about what I felt. She's got no regrets at all. That was her purpose, to guide me to do this, because she knew it was my purpose. So I started that over 12 years ago, and I've just been learning so much since from the conversations with animals who have passed away, as well as animals who are living, and their wisdom just astounds me. So it's just a continuous learning curve, finding out what they want their humans to know and what they want me to know.
Oh, absolutely. I've always said that animals are smarter than we think they are. So what kind of animals do you communicate with?
everything. I've had clients from snakes to horses, cows, birds, cats and dogs. And I love going to zoos and talking to all the different animals at zoos because I don't think very many people can communicate telepathically with them. And it's just wonderful to find out if they're okay or if they want to let their keepers know anything. So if they've got some aches or pains or some health issues that they want to share, then I can pass them on as well. So once you can master talking with your own animals, you can connect with any animals, whether they're domestic or wild. It just changes your whole world, but also changes the world for your animals because they can then tell you what they want to when they want to.
Absolutely. Actually, that's interesting. I don't know that I've ever had a person that has talked to animals at the zoo. What is one of the most unusual things that a zoo animal has told you?
I had a very funny experience with a sulfur crested cockatoo. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that bird. It's a white bird that's got a yellow comb over the head. And quite often they do chat, like they can learn to talk English. And his name was Charlie. And he was in his cage going, "Hello, Charlie. Hello, Charlie." And when you communicate telepathically with an animal, it's silent. You hear their voices in your head, so nothing's heard. So when I'm talking to animals, no one's got any idea that I'm doing it except for the animal. And so I was trying to connect telepathically with him, but he didn't want to talk to me. And I respect that. It's a free will thing for animals. If they don't want to talk, they don't have to. Anyway, I went and spoke to some other animals in the zoo. And when I came back to him, his keeper had just been in there putting some more tree branches in for him. And he was going, "Hello, Charlie. Hello, Charlie." So I said to him, "Hello, Charlie." And he kind of looked at me and I said, "Oh, do you want to talk out loud, do you? What do you want to tell me?" And he looked directly at me and he put his comb up and he stretched his wings out. And he screeched and screeched and screeched as though I was doing something terrible to him. And then he folded down his comb, closed down his wings, and he looked at me and he said, "Ha, ha." He knew exactly what he was doing and it was just so unexpected. And that's the thing with animals, you just don't know what they're going to say. I've had a horse who actually sang some of her answers to me. And I was really impressed because she had a great singing voice and the song that she sang was so appropriate to answer the questions I was asking her. So they've got great senses of humour. They've got incredible vocabularies. Some of them have had lifetimes before as humans. And so some of the words they use are what they're familiar with from hundreds of years ago and they're not words we use in common day language now. Some of them have used words in conversations I've never heard of before, but when I look them up in the dictionary, they're there. So, yeah, it's just fascinating. Wow. And that's what I want people to know is they do understand everything that we say. They are highly intelligent. And once we can have a conversation with them telepathically, then they can share so much. They know all about us, our life purpose. They may have had lifetimes with us in the past as a human or an animal. So there's so much they can tell us about ourselves to help us on our spiritual journeys.
Oh, wow. How would you know if an animal was a human before?
I asked them.
Oh, okay.
And they tell me, so I can ask about past connections with their humans. So one of my cats was a cat with me in ancient Egypt. I was a human. And he's had several lifetimes with me since as humans or as an animal. And that's what I'm finding, that a lot of our animals, some of them we have special soul contracts with where they just keep reincarnating back to have another lifetime with us and help us on our soul journey. And they can recall past lives. Humans don't, unless we go and have a life regression, but animals can recall the details. So they can tell me what kind of animal they were or if they're a human, where they were living and the time frame. And I'm just so intrigued with this. I Google it all and just check out that all of this makes sense. And it does. So, you know, I've had someone tell me that they were a black and pink pig with their human in America in the Midwest in the 1800s. And when I researched that, the Midwest opened up in the 1800s and pig farming was one of the agricultural practices. And when I told the cat's human this, because it was the cat that had been the pig, the owner just looked at me and he said, "My parents are pig farmers." So there's all these little synchronicities that just happen. And I just expect the unexpected now because it's just so phenomenal what they know and what they can share. And then the same with the reincarnation. I knew nothing about that till one of my cats let me experience it. And she wasn't very old and she had no health issues and she just suddenly passed away. And it was a huge shock. But because I could talk to animals in spirit, I knew I was going to be able to connect with her. So when I did, I said, "What did you do that for?" And she told me to stop being so sentimental and that she was coming back. And because she'd been so accurate with everything she'd taught me, I just had to believe her. And everyone thought it was a weird grief coping technique to imagine that your animal could come back. But animals can tell you what body they're going to be in, what they're going to look like, what gender they're going to be, sometimes a frame of when they're coming back or even where to start looking for them. And she told me what she was going to look like and she came back. And it's just so interesting because so many of her behaviours are the same. And within about 2 days, she settled back into the family as though she'd never left, like there's hissing and growling to start off with, because when they come back, they're in a completely different body and often they've changed gender, so your existing animals may not recognise them. They rely so much on scent and, of course, being in a new body, they don't smell the same, but they work out who they are on a soul level, and then it's as though they've just been away on a, you know, a body makeover trip. And they've come back as though they never left. They know everyone in the house. They know where their food bowls are. They know where their toys are. And it's just such a surreal experience being able to hold them again, because that's what all the people tell me who ask for a mediumship reading, who are desperate to have connection with their animal in spirit, you know, to tell them that they just love them so much and they'd give anything to hug them one more time. And lo and behold, they come back when it's their destiny to come back and you can hug them again. And it is just such euphoria and joy to have that animal back with you again.
Oh, absolutely. I don't necessarily have the communication element, but I'll tell you, I was going to do this at the end, but I'll just mix it in now, because last week was a really rough week. I'm a pug lover. I had five pugs and a puggle. I'm now down to 4 pugs and a puggle. My oldest ended up passing away last Friday. And it was really interesting because she came with her little mate, her sister named Grace. And Grace died unexpectedly of cancer a year and a half ago. We found it and we were trying to treat it. And we were going to take her in for an ultrasound to see if there was anything else we could do. It was, you know, kind of towards the end. And the day before we were to take her in for the ultrasound, she decided that was it and passed on. But Pandora, who's the pug who just passed for me on Friday, she basically, I didn't realize how close they were. I mean, I knew they were close, but they were really close. And after Grace died, she just really kind of withdrew into herself. And I wasn't sure how long Pandora would last without her sister. Pandora was 13 and a half when she died on Friday. And that for me is still young. My pugs, I like to be a good 14, 15, 16. I've had some 17 and 18, but there's not much you can do when it's time other than try to make it as easy as possible. But her eye ended up rupturing on a Wednesday, and she already had some pre-existing conditions, which I knew this was very bad because they were breathing conditions. And with an eye like that, my best guess was going to be they'd recommend to remove it. But to my surprise, the emergency vet sent her home with $700 worth of eye medicines. It was a grueling treatment. And then she had a follow-up Friday. And the Friday of her follow-up, a day and a half later, I had to log in because I'm a professor when I'm not doing this. And I have to log in to teach a class before the appointment. The weird thing was that when I was turning on the computer, out of the corner of my eye, I saw this little black pug standing by the door. And I thought, well, maybe you're just tired, because we were. I was exhausted. Pandora was exhausted. The pugs were exhausted. And, you know, I looked up, didn't see anything directly, looked back down at the computer, and I saw this little pug again. And then that was it. And I thought, okay, we're going to see how this bodes. But my hunch was that it was not necessarily a great sign for Pandora. But we did take her to the appointment, and it played out as I thought it was going to, that with the underlying conditions and the eye as it was, there was now infection sitting in despite all the meds, and it was time to let her go. And we did. And on the way out, it was so strange because I had this vision with Pandora and her sister when they were young. I would say 1 or 2, they were young, and they were just running very joyfully together in the sunshine. And I thought, okay. So, you know, that kind of thing is kind of new for me. And it was interesting because I've been doing this Paranormal Pets podcast for years. But, you know, it was good because I knew the sisters were together. And I think that's where this podcast comes in. And I hope it helps others because we can share information like this.
Yeah, and it's interesting because animals do grieve for the animal in spirit. So the humans grieve, the remaining animals grieve, and then your animal on the other side grieves. They can see that you're grieving and they wish that they could come and physically comfort you. They can come and visit energetically. So I don't know whether you saw an energetic glimpse when you saw that vision, but once they've gone through healing on the other side, they can come back for a visit. Somehow they can put on an energetic body, and they haven't explained how they do that yet, because once they're in spirit, they're a soul and they don't have a physical body. But I've had so many clients tell me they've seen their animal running up and down the corridor, or they've felt them jump on the bed or come up and nuzzle them, pat them on the face. They've heard them vocalize. I've experienced that. Or they've even smelt them. If they've got a particular scent, they can smell that. So they do try and come back and let us know that their soul has transitioned safely. And then sometimes they can move things around in the house. So you might find their toy in a different place. So there's lots of different things they can do to try and reassure us during that grief process. And then if they know that it's their destiny to return, then of course we can get the information about their reincarnation. And that just totally changes the grief process when you know that your animal is going to come back. Yes, you do mourn the animal who has passed, but there's this huge sense of anticipation about what you're going to recognize about them when they come back again. And sometimes you have to wait quite a while for them to find a suitable body to come back in. And sometimes they can return quite quickly. And as I said, your other animals will work out who they are and welcome them back into the family. And it just feels as though they never left. It really is such a weird feeling, but it's just so thrilling to know that you get to have another lifetime of love with your animal again.
Well, guys, that was certainly strange. For the first time ever, my internet completely cut out. It wouldn't even let me send an email. Nothing. So maybe Pandora has a message for me yet. It was really strange. However, I'm very happy to say that my awesome producer and our wonderful guest were able to continue on with the podcast because she has written a new book. So we're just going to take a gander and you will get straight up guest speaking for the next section as she talks about her writings and why you should get her book.
I have included a lot of stories about reincarnation in my new book, which is called Crossing the Bridge to Animal Consciousness. So this is part two of my Bridging Animal Consciousness trilogy. And this is a series that I'm writing just because I want people to understand more about animal soul journeys and to have hope when their animal passes away, that we can connect with them. I've spoken with a dog who passed over more than 20 years ago. So they have taught me that the soul endures and we can always connect with them telepathically. And a lot of people get stuck in grief and they feel as though their heart is never going to heal. And this is something that we can help with through having that conversation. It also helps the animals in spirit because they get a chance to connect with you and pass on their personal messages to you. So it helps both ways. And so I share a lot of those stories in the book. I share stories about energetic visits and also a lot about their spiritual understanding because, as I said earlier, animals can recall their past lives with us and share details about that. But they also know what our soul purpose is and what our soul lessons are. So they can actually give us practical advice on what we need to do on our soul journey. So they're like little repositories of knowledge. Some of them have had multiple lifetimes, so they can be very evolved beings. And what they can tell us is phenomenal. And it makes such a difference for our lives and theirs when we can communicate. So my animal communication mentorship program, I work with animal parents one-on-one for 3 months doing live sessions. I work with the animals beforehand and prepare them for the sessions we do. And then we do a series of practical exercises so that you can build up confidence in receiving and sending telepathic messages. And animals can communicate verbally, so you can hear their voices in your head, or they can also send images, and they haven't explained yet the thought transference technology that they're using, but somehow they can put images in your head, or they can play little video snippets in your head, which is just incredible, to answer your questions, or they can send emotions and feelings. So we do exercises to practice all those different ways of sending messages. And then, as I said, once you can talk with your own animals, then you can talk with any animals anywhere. So I've actually talked to a number of animals in the wild with writing my books and getting information from them and finding out what they want me to include so that their messages are getting out to the world. So for anyone listening in Australia, my books are available directly from me. So you can contact me through social media, Annie Burke, B-O-U-R-K-E, on Facebook or LinkedIn, or you can email me at chintuitive@bigpond.com. There is information about my books on my website, which is www.cosmicheartintuitive.com.au. So I do mediumship conversations, so talking to animals in spirit, and animal communication sessions, talking to living animals, and the Animal Communication Mentorship Program. So all of those details are available on my website, and also the link to my podcast, What Animals Tell Me. So I've published 3 books. So my first book was The Bridge to Animal Consciousness, and now this is the sequel, Crossing the Bridge to Animal Consciousness. And then my second book was called Evolving Hearts and Souls, The Guide to Spiritual Awakening. Because when I had my spiritual awakening, I had no idea that was going on, and I had no idea it could happen. So it's just a collection of my insights from my spiritual awakening journey to help support other people on their journey, so it doesn't feel so overwhelming and you know more about what's actually going on for you. So some of my key messages for animal parents are understanding that your animal does understand everything that you say. I have a lot of people telling me that animals are just pets and that they might understand no and walk, and that's the extent of it. But I'm here to tell you, with the conversations I've had and the vocabularies our animals have, that they are highly intelligent and they do understand exactly what we're saying. So it is really important to think about what words you're using, because our words that we use have vibrational frequency and our animals are affected by that. So trying to say positive things and positive names and positive nicknames are very important for our animals. If your animal gets separation anxiety, you can really help reduce their stress by telling them where you're going and what you're doing. Because if they're here as a guardian for you, they can feel as though they're failing if you've left the house and they don't know where you've gone and they don't know if you're ever coming back. So if you can let them know that you're going to the shop, you're going to buy dog food and treats and you'll be back in 2 hours, then they know where you've gone and you've said that you're coming back, which can just reduce their fear and anxiety considerably. The same if you're going away on holidays. You can let them know that you'll be back in 7 sleeps. They understand the concept of time, and that can really help them as well. It's also understanding that the animals are in your life for a reason. So whether it's an animal that you've had before that's reincarnated to come back to you, or whether they've come to you so that you can help them learn lessons such as how to accept love. Some of our animals struggle to do that, and they've come here to learn how to do that, to receive love and to give love. But a lot of them have come to help us with our soul lessons, and it's fascinating finding out what that is. And so the most important thing you can do is just have a verbal conversation with your animals every day. Tell them that you love them and you're grateful that they're with you. We never know how long they're going to be here with us, and they know that we love them, but hearing us verbalizing it really empowers them, and that can make such a difference for them, and it can transform your relationship with them. So until you know how to telepathically communicate, keep verbally communicating, but they will then know that they understand, and that will change things for them. So they may show you more affection, more intent eye contact, but they will know that you know that they understand everything. And it just deepens the relationship, which just fulfills them so much, but it can change our lives as well. Animals also have a great sense of humour, and that comes through in their conversations and their personalities. And I laugh out loud at some of the things animals tell me. They can be very unexpected, but they really do have a good sense of humour. I spoke with a horse who'd run into an electric fence, and he'd actually burnt himself on the chest, so he was in pain. And he said to me, "Oh, that was shocking." Now, he totally understood the pun on the word shocking. He used that deliberately. So as I said, they're extremely intelligent. And yes, you can have a very profound conversation with them about all sorts of topics. And partly what they do is help us in our soul evolvement. So spending time with an animal can help evolve our heart, which is part of our spiritual journey, but they can also help accelerate our soul evolvement through the wisdom and advice that they can give us. So I just want everyone to look at their animals through a different lens and appreciate how much they can give us and know that they're doing a lot of things behind the scenes that we're totally unaware of, but they're helping us in our life. And just having these messages from the other side, it can be very bizarre, but they can tell us so much. So if you weren't home when your animal passed away, or you don't know why they passed away, they have good medical knowledge and they can explain some of that to you so that you can have peace of mind with their passing. And it's also reassuring just to connect with them and know that their soul has transitioned safely. And I've also learnt in my conversations with our animals in spirit, they're so intelligent that they actually can tell me a code word, which is what I call it, which is a word that they will say during the conversation, which has no relevance to the context of the conversation, but means something specific to their human. And then they know beyond a doubt that I'm definitely connecting with their animal. And that's really clever that they know how to do that. So if you've got a living animal and you want to find out what's happening in their world, or if they've got sudden changes in behaviour or health issues that you want to understand, I can ask the questions. Or if your animal's in spirit and there's questions you need answers to so that you can move on with your healing journey, I can ask those on behalf of you as well. I connect with animals through photographs, so I just need a photo of your animal showing their face with their eyes open and your questions. I have conversations with animals all around the world and in spirit, so it doesn't matter where you are and where they are, I can connect with them. It is a free will choice for animals, so I have to ask their permission to have a conversation, but I haven't had any domestic animals refuse the chance to communicate with their humans. And it's just lovely being that conduit between the human and the animal to help them connect with each other and pass their messages on. So if you've got any questions about what we've been talking about in the session today, please contact me. chintuitive@bigpond.com is my email, or you can message me through my website, www.cosmicheartintuitive.com.au, or connect with me through social media on LinkedIn and Facebook. So thank you so much, Brandy, for inviting me to be on your episode today. It's been lovely having conversations with you, and my condolences on the passing of Pandora, but it is just beautiful that you've seen the images of her with her sister. And that's what they show me in spirit, that once they pass over, they go through a healing process and then they just run around again like young puppies or young kittens and just really enjoying life. And the one thing they miss is their humans. And that's a consistent message that I get in communications as well, that they miss being with us and that love that we have with them endures. So having an animal changes your heart and it affects your soul. And there's lovely quotes about how having an animal changes us and makes us a better person because we get exposed to that unconditional love that they share with us. And there's a lovely quote from Anthony Douglas Williams that I love. "When I look into the eyes of an animal, I do not see an animal. I see a living being. I see a friend. I feel a soul." And that's my mission, to help animal parents all over the world understand that their animal does have a soul, and that's a very special relationship we have with them. So thank you so much, Brandy. And I look forward to connecting with people who have listened to this episode. Thank you.
Well, I certainly want to thank everybody for this podcast. It was a most unusual one, but sometimes I think when you work with the paranormal, you work with the ghost in the machine. I don't know. Anyhow, if you are in the St. Petersburg area, February is Valentine. February 10th, we are doing an art show with belly dancers, a poem impersonator, psychic readings, and a whole bunch more at Art Lofts, 5 to 9 p.m., again, February 10th. If you're in the area on February 17th, we have a second Valentine art show at a place called Smoke and 19. February 24th, we are doing a historic tour of Roser Park. So it is the Valentine Full Moon Ghost Tour. Tickets are available. They are up on Eventbrite. And then February 27th, I am a guest for Nerd Night, which will be at Bayboro Brewing. So there's a lot going on. I am going to successfully turn February into the new winter Halloween. Thank you all for listening and happy haunting. We'll catch you on our next podcast.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets every week only on PetLifeRadio.com.